Well, I want to look at mainly one verse tonight. One verse in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. One verse here in the John chapter 3. And what I want to do is I want us to glean or to gather some truths tonight about the Spirit's work in our hearts. How does the Spirit work in our hearts? How does He perform this work? What does it look like? How does it show itself? Of course, you look here, Jesus is talking to a religious man. It's very interesting. Chapter 2 has told us that Jesus knows the hearts of all men. He doesn't need people to tell Him about the hearts of men. He knows the hearts of men. And we have here this religious man. He comes to Jesus at night. Not only is he religious, he's a teacher. If he lived today, he may have a Facebook page about ministry. And he may have a Twitter account. He's been twittering throughout the week about spiritual truths and things. He's a teacher of Israel. People know him. He's religious. And yet, even though he is religious, he's lost. And even though he's religious, he does not understand some of these very basic truths that we have to experience before we can be saved. And what Jesus is doing here in this chapter, and mainly in the spot we're going to look at in verse 8, Jesus is comparing the wind to the Spirit. He's trying to help Nicodemus. He's giving him truth. He's telling Nicodemus the Spirit's work in the life of the believer is like the wind that blows. He's using something very natural to talk about something that is spiritual. And this is what verse 8 says. Verse 8 says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Let's read that one more time. Remember, what Jesus is doing here is comparing the Spirit's work in our heart that must take place before someone is saved, and he's comparing that to wind. Listen to what it says again. And this is Jesus speaking. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." It's very interesting here. In verse 7, Jesus tells Nicodemus, don't marvel. You see, what we have, we live in a very skeptical age. We live in a time that we may find somewhat surprising that this man who lived in the first century, what do? We look back thousands of years on people and we think of them so primitive. We think of them so, if they had the knowledge that we had, well, they would be so much better off. And yet we have here someone who is spiritual, someone spiritual in the worldly sense, someone who is religious, and yet he cannot understand these things. And in fact, he hears Jesus talking. Jesus says, you must be born again. And what does Nicodemus' attitude? He says to himself, how can this be? You're telling me I must be born again? I don't even understand what this means. What does that look like? And Jesus says to him, do not marvel at these things. Listen, you take a man, he goes out on his porch, he says, I cannot see the wind, therefore the wind does not exist. We call him a fool, and we'd be right to do so. And yet Nicodemus is the spiritual teacher of Israel, one of them at least. And he says to Jesus, how can these things be? And Jesus' reply is this, do not marvel at what I say to you. Don't be amazed at this. Why are you so amazed at these things? Just as the wind blows, you don't see the wind. The wind blows, you can't see the wind, but you hear the wind. You know the effects that the wind leaves. In the same way, every single person who is born of the Spirit of God is born of the Spirit of God like this. The wind blows upon them. This unseen force, this unseen reality, they cannot see it. But the Spirit always changes someone's life when the Spirit comes. What I want us to do tonight is to look at some of these great truths that we can pull out from verse 8, that we can glean, and I want us to learn from them. I want us to hear from God. He wants to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us tonight. Look at the first part of verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes. This is the first thing I want us to see, is that we are not in control of the Spirit's work. Anybody who's been outside on a hot day without the wind blowing knows for a fact they cannot command the wind. Doesn't matter how long you're out there, doesn't matter how hot it is, you cannot command the wind to blow. It's impossible. And in the same way, it is impossible for us to command or to control the Spirit of God. Jesus says here in the last part of this verse, he says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. He's comparing this to wind. And what Jesus, one of the things that Jesus is saying here is this, just like the wind, it blows where it wishes, so is the Spirit of God. He goes where he wishes. He moves on people how he wishes. Listen, today, what we look at today, we are in control of almost every single thing today. And this is what I mean. You see a book that you want, you can literally have that book in your hand in seconds. I mean, literally. I see a book that I want on the internet, I hear somebody talking about it, I go to the internet, I see it's offered an e-book, which I'm very happy about. What do? I can literally have that book in my hand in seconds. You know, we may have people that we know. Almost every single person that we know, we can contact them almost any time that we want. Now, they may not want us to contact them any time that we want. But the truth of it is, pretty much every single person that you know, you can contact them almost any time that you want in multiple ways. We can do so many different things. You have a job you don't like, you can quit the next day. You can probably find another job within a week or so. We do almost anything that we want today. You want to go on vacation tomorrow and you have enough hours, vacation hours, you can drive 100 some miles tonight. I mean, that's been going on for decades and decades. It's nothing to do that. And yet what I want us to see is we are so used as people to go around and do things anytime we want, any way that we want. We are so accustomed to this. We know it's true. And we're so used to getting anything that we want, any time that we want. But here is the truth we have to see. We are not in control of this thing. You and I, as we look at the Bible and we read the Scriptures, we are in a different realm, friends. We open up this book, and if this book is true, and I don't say that because I doubt it, I know it's true. If this book is true, you and I are not in control of what it tells us. We do not command the Spirit to move. We do not command God to move. We can pray, we can ask, but when it comes down to it, everything in life that we know is turned on its head because we get anything we want, anytime we want. And yet the Bible is telling us here, that is not how the Spirit works. We know that as Christians, don't we? We're having maybe a difficult time. Our hearts are kind of cold for a while. We go to the Bible. The Bible's like stone. We go to our knees to pray. The heavens are brass. It's like our prayers aren't getting through. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just like a cool breeze on a hot day, God revives us again. You're listening to a sermon and the preacher's not even preaching about what you're struggling with, and yet the Spirit helps you in that thing. Haven't you experienced that before? Just like the wind, we cannot see, and yet the Spirit comes within us, revives us. And even as Christian people, this is true from us. The wind blows where it wishes. The Spirit moves where He wishes and where He desires. And we are not in control of this thing. And the sign of that is, we cannot be saved anytime that we want to. Can you think back to maybe before you were converted? Maybe you were seeking the Lord for some time. I know I'm not exactly sure. I'm pretty sure I was saved when I was around 20 years old. And yet I'm looking at this. I'm trying to seek. I'm trying to understand. I'm going to the Lord. I'm praying. I'm reading. I'm hearing preaching. Something amazing happened. You say, what is that? I showed up on a Wednesday night. Can you believe that?
You see, I was a Sunday morning only, and I was pretty much forced to go. But then God began to work in my heart. And when people have a need, and when a desire arises in someone's heart, what happens? They have to find answers. And I went on a Wednesday night trying to find answers. I used to not care about going on Sunday morning, but now I show up on a Wednesday night. What's happening to me? God was blowing upon me. His Spirit was moving upon me. And one of the things that we have to see at the very beginning, and it's very humbling, is that we are not in control of God. That's one of the great things we can see from this passage. We are not in control of the Spirit of God. God is in control. We see this by the way that God deals with some people. Now, if all of us would stand up, all of us who are Christians tonight, and we would give our testimony, all of us, to some extent, would have the same basic testimony. We would talk about how we were lost, how we found out we were sinners, how God dealt with us, spoke to us, how we came to Him for forgiveness, and we repented, and our life has been changed. A lot of the things that we would have to say would be very similar. And yet, one of the signs that God's Spirit, and it's sovereign, that He works the way that He wants to, is the way, and we may say in a secondary sense, He works in our hearts differently. You see, if we had a testimony service, some of you may get up and be talking about how the Spirit of God was like a gentle breeze in your heart when He brought you to the Lord. You're going along your own way, and very gently, very softly, the Spirit of God would speak to you, trying to pull you to Christ, trying to pull you to salvation. And maybe for you, it was the love of God. The love of God was the greatest thing in your mind at that time. You would think about the love of God, and the love of God would be pulling you to forgiveness. And you would think to yourself, maybe, I am so sinful. How can God love somebody like me? And the love of God was the thing for you. And yet, maybe for some of us, what actually got our attention was not a soft breeze, it was like a thunderstorm. The thunderings of the law, judgment. God, instead of moving on our hearts at that time like a cool breeze, came like a tornado and knocked us off our feet. And we see here, all of us have to come to Christ. God has to deal with everyone. That's true. And yet God does it in different ways. According to the person, the Spirit blows where He wishes. The Spirit moves and acts the way that He desires. Maybe for some people, God deals with someone over a long period of time, maybe months, even years. They're going through life, and the Spirit is reminding them about certain truths. The Spirit is reminding over and over throughout a long extended time about their need for salvation. And yet for some people, maybe God desires to come to that person for a very short time and then leave. Maybe to come back later, I don't know. God deals with people differently. And this is just a sign that God's Spirit is in control of salvation. That God is the one who initiates salvation. That God is the one who deals with our hearts according to our need. God does this. The wind blows where it wishes, and so does the Spirit of God. God is in control. Look what it says next. The wind blows where it wishes, but look what it says next. And you hear the sound of it. Again, someone who goes on the porch, they don't see the wind. They say, well, I don't believe in the wind. We'd call them a fool. And yet here, we read here. Obviously, the wind cannot be seen. But Jesus says here in verse 8, and you hear the sound of it. And though we cannot see the Spirit of God and how He works in our hearts, we can know when He's working in our hearts, can't we? We know when He's working. We know when He's touching us, when He's dealing with us. You know, in many ways, our hearts are like the waters of the sea. It's like a boat on the sea. When there's no wind, the waves are calm. There's no wind. The waves are still, there's no crashing, there's no problem, there's no trouble. And yet when the wind begins to blow, and blow quite strongly, the boat begins to shake, the waters begin to come up, the waves crash, trouble, fear, different things happen.
And it's very similar to our lives. We're going through life. Day to day, we're living our lives, and many of us could testify to this. I could testify to this. We're living our lives. We're going day to day. We're waking up, going to school, coming back from school, getting dinner, going to bed, repeating 5 days a week. Or we're waking up, we're eating breakfast, we're going to work, we're coming home, we're eating dinner, we're going to bed, we're getting up. Over and over and over. And everything seems to be fine. We don't seem to have any misgivings about us. We don't seem to have anything missing within our hearts. And yet, just like the water of the sea, the wind begins to blow. The Spirit begins to trouble our hearts. And though we're getting up and doing the same things day by day, maybe you're going to school, maybe you're going to work, whatever it might be, day by day you're doing the same thing, and yet things are coming to your mind that you never thought about before. The wind has begun to blow. The waves have begun to beat against your boat, so to speak. And all of a sudden, what comes to your mind at times is not just what are you going to eat for dinner, but you start to think, and I start to think about things that maybe we've never thought about before. That one day I'm going to have to die. We begin to think about death. We begin to think about every single person who has ever lived has done just what I'm doing right now. Get up, eat, go to work, come back. And everyone who has ever done that has died. Everybody's done the exact same thing that I have done. And one day I'm going to die. Why have I not thought of that before? And what happened? We begin to feel guilty about things. And watch this, though. We're not doing anything different than we used to do. We're doing the same thing we've always done. We're going the same places we've always... We're avoiding the same things we've always avoided. But now we begin to feel guilty about some things that we're doing. We say, what is this? What is happening to me? Why am I feeling like this for? I make money. That's always been fine before. But now I see, and I'm starting to understand a few generations later, what's going to happen to my money. It's going to be spent. And who knows if the person who gets my money is going to be a fool or a wise man. Who knows? Things are coming to your mind that you've never seen before, yet they've always been there. You say to yourself, well, after a few more generations go by, my name, it's just going to be a name on a tombstone. And nobody's going to even know I ever existed. What are these things? We begin to think. The wind is blowing. The waves are starting to crash. We don't like it. Our boat is rocking. And yet it's just the thing that we have to have, though. You see, we can't see the wind. We can't see the Spirit. And yet what happens is that we know when the wind is there, and we know when the Spirit is there. The Spirit begins to rock our boat. The Spirit begins to rock our lives. The Spirit is showing us things that we've never even thought about before, and they're becoming real. And here's the strangest things of all. God is becoming real. You see, it's one thing. It's altogether different to always say, I know there's a God, and I believe in Him. That's always true. But then something strange and odd begins to happen. And this God that we've always believed in is now becoming real to us. It's like the oven that you've always believed your wife, for however she did it, it got hot and cooked the meals. You don't know how, but it always worked that way. But then all of a sudden you try to cook and you burn your hand on it. And the oven has now is no longer the abstract and out there in theory. It's now reality to you. And this God that you've always believed in is now becoming real. And judgment is becoming real. And you put the pieces together. I'm feeling guilty, and God is real, and judgment is real. And if God knows the things that I'm doing, God must be angry at me. And we begin to see these things. And the Spirit shows us these things. Things that have always been there. You see, we can't see the Spirit. But we always know when He's working in a life. He speaks. He moves. He brings us to see things that we've never even thought about before. But they've always been there before. And just like the wind that blows, so does the Spirit move on our hearts at times. We know when He's at work, don't we? We know when He's at work in our hearts. We know, as Christians or non-Christians even, we know when we're doing something and that check comes up within us. That guilt comes up within us. We're getting ready to do something. We're getting ready to look at something. And all of a sudden, we just know if we do it, we'll be doing wrong. How do we know that? God's given us a conscience. That's true. But as Christians, He's also given us the Spirit of God. Jesus says in John 16, He says, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." When the Spirit comes to a person, that person becomes aware of sin. They become aware of judgment. They become aware of righteousness. And the things they've always done are now appearing to be wrong and guilty. And he's becoming, or she's becoming, conscious of God. And not only of the things that they have been doing or haven't been doing, they now become aware that they have ignored God almost their entire life. They now become aware that this God who created them, if He's our Creator, we owe Him something. And we see this, and the Spirit is making it all alive to us. It's like a man or a woman who oversleeps. Now, unfortunately, I've had experience in this before. You're supposed to get up at a certain time, you're supposed to get dressed, you're supposed to go somewhere, and you're just, you know, you don't know what's happening because you're asleep. And you wake up and you see, I'm 30, 40, I'm an hour late. What have I been doing? I was supposed to get up at this time. I was supposed to be there already. And you wake up to reality. And in the same way, in the spiritual realm, we go through life. We're doing our thing. We're enjoying life. There's no troubles, really. Of course, there's troubles, but everyone has troubles and we get over them. Everything's fine. And then one day, just like waking up when you're late for something, you wake up and you say, "What have I been doing with my life? What have I been doing? I've been asleep the whole time. I didn't know what was going on. I'm now awake to this. What is going on?" And that is the Spirit's work in our hearts. The reality that other people have seen, you begin to see, and I begin to see. This is part of the Spirit's work in our heart. And let me say this to you. Hell and eternity becomes real. And do you know how it's real? Do you know how it's real? Do you know how you can know it's real in your life? Has hell and eternity ever made you sweat before? Just get down to it. Have you ever sweated over the fact that there was a hell and there was an eternity? Have you ever lost sleep before that there was a hell and an eternity? I'm not saying have you ever spent an entire night. Maybe you have. But I'm saying have you ever lost sleep? You as a lost person, back when maybe when I was lost or before you were saved, we were lost or maybe we were in a great doubt, doubting whether we were saved or not. Did that ever make you lose sleep? Were you ever afraid to go to sleep at night? Because you would wake up in eternity. Let me tell you, until something like that happens to you, you do not believe in hell. And you do not believe in eternity. If hell and eternity is real, then surely we would feel the weight of it at times. And that is the Spirit's work in our heart, making it real to our hearts. You see, if this is all theoretical, and if God is there but not really there, then let's just throw the Bible away and forget about it. Dr. Phil can tell us how to live. Oprah can help every once in a while. Let's just forget the Bible. Let's throw it away. Listen to me. If these things have not become real to us, then why are we here? Why am I dressed up in this suit? I don't like suits anyway. Why am I here? Dear friend, why? Why are we wasting our time if these things have not become real to us? And another sign they've become real to us is the fact that they control the way that we live. They control things about us. Have we ever understood this? Have we ever seen this? Have they ever come home to our hearts before? It is the Spirit's work that does this. The Spirit's work. He makes these things so real.
And I'm telling you,
not that I'm perfect at all about this, but until they become real to you, you're not going to witness to that coworker. Until they become real to you, you're not going to witness to that person that you know. You can forget about it. Why would you witness to something that's not real to you? Until God, if God made this world, until He, by His Spirit and by faith that He grants us, until He becomes real in our hearts, let's just go home. Let's just eat some homemade ice cream. And let's just forget about things. I'm telling you, the Spirit makes these things real. Have they been real to us before? And not only have they been real to us, but are they still real to us? Are they still real to our hearts? Look at what else Jesus says here. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. But look what He says next. But cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. You see, we can see the work of the wind. We most certainly can see how the wind blows or the effects of the wind. We can understand, we can see that. And yet we don't understand everything about the wind. Now, you know what some really smart people are going to say right now? They're going to say, we understand the wind now. And Jesus' illustration is no good. Back then, thousands of years ago, maybe they didn't know about the wind, but we know about the wind now. Hey, do you all ever watch the weather forecast? We know that it's wrong at times. I'm thankful for it, though. Try telling people in Middle Tennessee is bad enough, but try telling people in Kansas, in Oklahoma, that we understand the wind just fine when it's tornado season. I tell you what we do, we as humanity, we think we're pretty smart, but we're not near as advanced as we think we are. The wind is still a mystery to us in many ways. And in the same way, the Spirit's work in our heart is a mystery. It is still a mystery to us. We can know things about the Spirit's work. We have the Bible. We can see things about the Spirit's work. We have experienced some of these great things. And yet, still, there's so much mystery about God's work in our heart. Let me ask you this. Were you looking for God when God saved you? Now, some of you in here, and I could testify this as well, we were seeking for God. We were trying to find God. We were reading the Bible. We were praying. We were going to church. We may have lost some sleep at night because we were so worried about the things of God, and God saved us. Yes, that's all true. But here's the big question that I'm looking at. How did all that start for you? Because you were not always seeking God. You were not always interested about God. Where did that beginning happen? I remember at one time I was on the golf course minding my own business, and all of a sudden I began to think about the things of God. Now sure, there's different influences in my life, but I'm telling you, the Spirit came to me when I wasn't thinking about God, when I wasn't thinking about the things of God in the spirit realm. God came to me and God began to speak to me. Where did He come from? And where did He go after that? I don't know. But I do know the Spirit came and He spoke to me. And you may be here tonight. This pretty nice, large-sized congregation tonight. You may be here tonight. And you say, I want the Spirit to blow upon me. I want the Spirit to deal with me. I want to be saved. And what it sounds like, if that's someone's attitude tonight, the Spirit is already at work in your heart. If you have a true desire to be saved, then God is already at work in your heart. And one thing I don't want us to take from this tonight is the thinking that we are passive in all of this. We are not passive in all of this. Why did God send the Christian name Ananias to Paul for? Before Paul was saved, why did Ananias come? Well, one reason he came was this. Paul was praying. God said, go to Paul. He's a special servant of mine. Behold, he prays. He was praying. Go to that man. We're not passive in this. Yes, God has to work. God is in control. But once God begins to work in our heart, that we seek God, we pray, we come to Him, we plead with Him. Lord, save me or I perish. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. All of that's true. So if you have a desire to be saved, maybe you're a Christian and you've committed a sin in the past and you feel like God cannot forgive you for that. That is the Spirit's work, I believe, in your heart. Come to Him. Ask forgiveness from Him and be saved. And you may be here tonight and you say, you know, I really don't understand these things. I feel a lot like this religious guy. I don't understand. I want to understand. I want help. But I simply don't understand. This is what I would say to you. You know, we can't control the wind. I've said that already. We know that already. We can't control the wind. And yet, if we wanted desperately to feel the wind, where would we go? Would we go down in our basement? Would we go down in a valley? Would we go down a place where I grew up at? Four mountains surrounded it, trees everywhere. No. If we wanted to feel the wind, we would go up on a mountain with no trees around. No, we can't control the wind, but that's usually where the wind's going to be blowing many, many times. If you're here and you say, I don't understand these things. I want to, but I just can't comprehend. I need help. You need to be reading. You need to be praying. All that's true. But this is true also. The Spirit of God works through His Word. The Spirit of God works with the people of God. Amen. And what we need to do is put ourselves under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. God uses that. The Spirit of God uses that. John 3:8, the very last part of it says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Yes, we must be born of the Spirit. We must be raised anew. We must be changed by the Spirit. That's true. And yet the Bible also speaks being born again through the Word of God. The Spirit uses the Word. God makes us born again through the Word and through His Spirit. And if we're in desperate need to understand more and to want more, what do we need to do but sit under the preaching and the teaching of God's Word? And I would say to us tonight, is the Spirit speaking to us? Is the Spirit speaking to us about something? Maybe you're a Christian here tonight. And God, just like the wind, has blown to you tonight. The breeze has hit you. You have been reminded of something in your past that you haven't taken care of. You've been reminded of something right now that God is dealing with you about, something maybe He wants you to begin to do, something that He wants you to stop to do. Is the Spirit speaking to us? And what I would say as we end tonight is this. You go out, the sermon's over, the singing's over, the fellowship's over. We go about our normal life. It would be good. At least at sometimes, when you go out and you feel the wind. You're being refreshed by the wind. The wind is blowing. You feel the wind. To be reminded and to think to yourself, has the Spirit come to me like that yet? You go out, you feel the wind. Has the Spirit of God blown upon me like that yet? Has the Spirit come to me and caused me to be born again? Has the Spirit come to me and have I obeyed what He has wanted me to do? Every time maybe you feel the wind, remember that Jesus, God may have just created the wind for the only purpose, the main purpose of just illustrating what it is to be born again. Every time maybe you feel that wind blow upon you, you go out tonight after church, you're going to your vehicle, the wind hits you with a gust. Think to yourself, has the Spirit blown upon me like that yet? Has God touched my heart as that wind touched my skin? The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound thereof, the Spirit, the same way. Has it happened to me yet? Has this Spirit come to me?